Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. And I have in store for you a great conversation. We're going to be speaking with one of my favorites to talk to, all the way from D.C., from the nation's capital, covering the Washington Nationals. I'm going to talk to Juan Soto. I'm going to talk some trade deadline. I'm going to talk some NL East, because he knows it all. Mark Zuckerman of Masson Sports covers the Nationals on a daily basis and occasionally jumps onto the broadcast. Who would have knew? Mark Zuckerman, the jack of all trades. We're going to be talking to him. I'm excited to have this conversation and for you to hear it. I just love talking ball. You know, that's what we do here on the podcast. So Mark Zuckerman going to be joining us shortly. And I say broadcaster, jack of all trades, because he recently just hopped on a broadcast. And that's what I want to talk to him about is, you know, we all grow up watching the game of baseball. And I don't know if you've done it. I know for damn sure I have done it when I'm playing a baseball game, when I'm out in the backyard, you know, as a little kid. You start talking to yourself. You start broadcasting the game. Bottom of the ninth, base is loaded, and Walter steps up to the plate, and he hits one high. He hits one. I'm doing my Kipe impression right now, but you get what I'm saying. We have all done the broadcast. I've conducted interviews of my damn self when I'm playing Xbox, when I'm playing the show, okay? I live it so much to where you put yourself into that realm. You want to be a broadcaster. I feel like that's all that we've wanted to do. When you watch baseball, you want to emulate those guys that you hear. I mean, growing up in the Bay Area, we've had Kruk and Kipe, John Miller, and Dave Fleming for as long as I can remember, and even greatness before that, right? And you just want to be like those guys. You want to sound like those guys. You start talking like John Miller. You start talking like Dave Fleming. And it's just a cool opportunity to where this is your livelihood, right, with Mark Zuckerman, and he is doing his thing on the beat, and he is great on it. But to have that opportunity to cross that off of a bucket list, if you will, to say that you can go anywhere now and say, hey, I've called a major league game, right? That has got to be a great feeling, just that you've invested so much in your life to doing and covering and being involved in a game that you've grown up loving, and you get to call a game. So I'm excited to get the perspective of Mark Zuckerman, because again, this wasn't necessarily an avenue that he wanted to take. He's more of on the reporter side. So I want to get his take on that whole experience, being that he just got thrown into it. So I need to find out more about that incident, not the incident, about that situation with him joining the broadcast. We're going to talk to him about that as well. Catch up with him and see what's going on with the Nationals. Juan Soto, he doesn't want to sign there? Is he going to sign there? We're going to find out, because Nationals are just throwing money at this kid, and he's not signing yet. He doesn't have to. He's not on a timetable. So we'll see what Mark has to say about that in that situation. All-Star Weekend is upon us, and he's also participating in the Home Run Derby. Does that have anything to do with potential suitors for Juan Soto? People looking at the All-Star game and looking at that Home Run Derby. So Juan Soto traveling to Los Angeles. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll talk about, you know, it's the perfect time right now, wrapping up the first half, right? Our grades for the first half. We're going to talk about that a little bit with Mark Zuckerman also. He is well-rounded. He knows everything that's going on in and out of that division in the NL East. So we'll get a little bit perspective from the national side of how things have gone in the NL East. And again, trade deadline is coming up once again. It's upon us. And Nationals, they may have some moves to make. So we're going to talk about that, all of that going on with Mark Zuckerman. B, beat writer for the Washington Nationals for Masson Sports. Coming up on the other side, you're listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast, Passion for the Pastime Podcast. Your host, Walter, here. Now, we're going to be going over to the East Coast, talk to our guy who we had on the podcast before, Washington Nationals beat writer for Masson Sports, co-host for the Nats Chat Podcast. And also, I got to throw in there, Mark, broadcaster Mark Zuckerman joining us on the podcast. Mark, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Walter. Yeah, it's a big resume I've got these days. I'm kind of serving as a utility guy. So I know you guys know Kevin Franson from his time in San Francisco. I work with him at Masson, and I've always called him the utility man. So we had to do one night because of some COVID issues on the rest of the broadcast. It was the two of us doing it. And so he was the super utility guy taking over play-by-play duties, and I was trying to fill in his shoes as the analyst. And it was fun. We had a good time. It was a cool thing to be able to say I got to do once.
That's an awesome experience, man. Not many people can say that they've called a big league game. So, yeah, you definitely, if you haven't already, by the end of this interview, I want you to put that on your resume that you have broadcasted a Major League Baseball game.
I will make sure to do that immediately. Yes.
Definitely. Mark, thank you for taking the time and coming on to the podcast for sure. I just, how did you prepare for that? I mean, were you kind of just thrown into it, like given very little notice? Or how did you prepare for that moment to go on to the broadcast with Franny?
Yeah, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I found out that there was a chance. It wasn't even official.
Oh, man.
At that point. Now, so we had Bob Carpenter, our lead play-by-play announcer, had tested positive a few days earlier, so he was already out. So we knew that. And then Dan Kolko, who's usually the pre- and post-game host, sideline reporter, was going to fill in. And, because he was a close contact, they made him keep getting tested. So a couple days later, all of a sudden, he tested positive, and our producer texted me. I was in the clubhouse starting to do some interviews for my regular job. He said, we need you to go get tested. Make sure you're clear. You may need to do the game tonight. So it wasn't a whole lot of prep, not the kind you would normally have. But, it helped. They were playing the Marlins, a team that we see a lot. So that helped somewhat. And Kevin Franson was fantastic. He really helped guide me through the whole thing. He's a pro, just a good guy. We've known each other for a while. And, he said, like, hey, listen, I'll take the play-by-play. You just, analyze it. And it worked out fine. It wasn't a conventional broadcast by any means, but we got pretty positive reviews. And then thankfully the next day they brought in an actual professional, one of the radio announcers, Dave Jagler. And so I got to go back to my regular job writing for a living.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, now that you had a taste of it, are you going to put down the pen and paper or for the mic, or are you just going back to the regular writing?
Well, it was fun to fill in like that. Maybe on occasion if something were to come up, but I it's not necessarily something I've aspired to, or I don't have a demo reel ready to go, anything right. like that. So, it's a very cool thing to be able to say that I did. My family got a kick out of watching it, and a lot of friends got to see it too. But for me, I enjoy what I do, and I still get to be on TV a decent amount. I get to host a podcast, so that's more than enough broadcasting for me, I think.
Fair enough. Mark Zuckerman talking some national sports, Washington Nationals, that is, for Masson Sports here. We're going to be talking about the Nationals, talking about the National League East and everything like that. Talk some trade deadline. The silver lining, or I guess the takeaway, is always stay on your toes, Mark. You never know what's going to happen. So let's go ahead and start talking about the NL East here with Mark Zuckerman. And, I just got to ask, give me your assessment as we're at the halfway point going into the All-Star game, going into the All-Star break. Give me your assessment of how things have played out in the NL East. Any surprises to you? Is it on course for what you expected at the start of the year? I'm still standing behind my Braves pick to win the NL East, but how has it planned out? What are you seeing from the Nationals' perspective?
I think where we finally got to here is about what I expected, which was a close race with the Braves and the Mets probably at the top and the Phillies trying to catch them. The path to get here was not necessarily what I expected, where the Mets came out of the chute playing great, and the Braves really were struggling until about a month ago or so. And like we had talked about before, I mean, the Braves are defending champs for a reason. I've always liked them. They have just a great depth of talent and a great system and just an organization that has covered all the bases. And so I did feel like all along they're going to figure it out. They did it last year as well. I was surprised it took a little longer than maybe expected. But I do still feel like they are the best team in the division. I give the Mets credit. I've said all along, there's a lot of talent there, no question, but they've got to prove it that they can do this over a whole season. We've seen too many times where the Mets have served as Lucy putting the football out there for Charlie Brown, and then they yank it away the last minute and break all the Mets fans' hearts. So until they make it all the way through the season and prove that this is legit, you have to at least, have that in the back of your mind. But so far, they do seem like they are for real. They've been able to withstand the injuries to DeGrom and Scherzer. So I think it's going to be a good race down to the wire between them. I think the Phillies are just trying to hang on at this point. They hit the ball a ton. Their bullpen's actually been better lately, but I just still don't trust the pitching staff, and I really don't trust their defense. And so to me, that's going to be a challenge for them to keep pace. Maybe they're in the wild card race, but I have a hard time seeing them, ultimately topping the Braves and the Mets at the top of the division.
Talking with Mark Zuckerman here for Masson Sports, covering the Washington Nationals, talking some NL East right now. And you mentioned the Mets, and I would kind of throw them in there right now, just in my perspective. The reason why I took the Braves was because I thought that there was going to be too many injuries for the New York Mets. Now, they've had a ton of injuries on the starting rotation, but I guess that's why I throw them into the category of a surprise. Yeah, they were expected to be great, right? They were expected to be a good team, but the surprise that they were able to withstand those injuries, as you alluded to, losing DeGrom and Scherzer just came back. And is there even a timetable, do you know, at the moment for DeGrom coming back? I believe that he started a rehab assignment, but is there a set timetable?
No, I haven't heard any specific date, but I know he's made, I want to say, at least a couple of rehab starts at this point, because I always see everyone raving on Twitter about how he's throwing 100 miles an hour, blowing away the hitters in the Florida State League or whatever it is. So pitchers are allowed up to 30 days on a rehab assignment. I would guess that he may not even need that many. So he may be coming back here fairly soon after the All-Star break. And then let's see, can he keep himself that healthy? Here's a guy, there's no questioning how good he is when he's out there. He's as good as anybody, maybe the best in baseball. The issue the last few years has been keeping himself on the mound. So when you throw baseball as hard as he does, you do run the risk of things propping up along the way. So let's see. It was a pretty serious injury that he had. Let's see. Can he, can his body withstand that kind of velocity that he throws and hold up for the rest of the year? If he can, and if Scherzer can hold up, and look, I love Max. I've covered him for 7 years in D.C. He has been as durable as anybody in baseball, but Father Time, it catches up to everybody eventually, and we have seen the last couple of years some little nagging things starting to get to him. Now, they're not related to his arm. He's never really dealt with an arm injury, but things like his back and his side and his neck, I mean, those are things that he was dealing with already in D.C., and now it's been more of an issue this year in New York. If he can keep himself on the field and pitch every fifth day, and if DeGrom can come back, that's going to make them really formidable, especially if they get to October with those two in rotation. I covered a team that won a World Series behind two aces, and I've seen how that can be done. That's certainly a formula that could work for the Mets if those guys are healthy and in peak form come October.
Now, switching over to the Nationals, we talked about the NL East pretty much the whole podcast here, and I just want to get into the Nationals part of it. It's been a disappointing year since the World Series title in 2019, missing out on the postseason ever since. But it looks like that trend will continue this year. But let's go ahead and continue to talk about the Nationals here. And I want to kind of go into Juan Soto, right? I mean, that's what everybody's talking about right now with the contract talks. What's going on in your perspective? I know that there was a 13-year, I think there's a 13-year right now on the table, $425 million extension for Juan Soto, but he hasn't accepted. What is your take on the situation right now with the Nationals and Juan Soto?
Well, listen, as much as everyone around here, would love for that to get done, and of course, after having seen other guys like Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon leave town over the years, this is the guy that everyone wants to keep and wants to make him a National for life. But I think we have to acknowledge just the reality of the situation, which is if you're Juan Soto, And you debuted in 2018 as a 19-year-old on a team that was trying to win. And then in your second year, you won the World Series. And the next couple of years, you went into the seasons at least trying to win again. And then it didn't happen. Now you had to blow the whole thing up and start over and begin a rebuilding project. If you're him, you need to see some evidence here of where this is going, I think, before you commit to it. The Nationals are trying to do this thing in a relatively quick manner. This isn't a 4 or 5 year rebuild, is what they're insisting. They want to believe that by 2024 they can have a contending team, or at least a competitive team, back on the field again. It's going to require a lot of things to go right between now and then. They have a long way to go still. But part of the reason that they're doing that, I think, is because 2024 is the last year that Soto is under their control before he can become a free agent. So in their minds, like, yeah, you can make him these offers all you want. But if I'm Juan Soto, and certainly Scott Boras' agent, I'm thinking to myself, why am I just going to agree now to a deal when I, can wait 2 years and negotiate with everybody in baseball and not just negotiate against myself? And why not wait and see where this franchise goes? They're also probably going through an ownership change here within the next year that could dictate a lot about where the franchise is headed, in a good way or a bad way. So if I'm them, I'm waiting it out, and I think that's where they are. And so if you're Mike Rizzo, the GM, everyone else sort of associated with the franchise, the best thing they can do right now is try to put the best possible product on the field within the next 2 years. Worst case, you may have another shot at winning with Juan Soto on your roster. Best case, you've now convinced them to stay here long term.
So I guess the question is, with Juan Soto, I mean, it's the question of, does he want to be there? And yeah, they have to show that they want to be a winning product for him to want to stay long term. Do you see a scenario, maybe not this trade deadline, but possibly next year or even in the winter, do you see a possibility of Juan Soto being dealt rather than him signing in Washington?
So Rizzo, the GM, has kind of been pretty adamant about the fact they're not trading him, at least not right now. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't change, of course. And so I think it's tied in with what we were talking about before. What kind of progress do we see in this rebuild? If they get to the end of this season, or certainly by next July, and you look at them and say, they're not a year away from winning. They are a long way away from winning. And maybe a new owner comes in and wants to slash payroll for whatever reason. The situation could change at that point. And as we saw what Rizzo did a year ago at this time with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, he recognized the team was not in a position to win in the immediate future. He had two really valuable commodities that could be traded to a contender, and they got four prospects for them. Two of them are already doing a pretty good job for them at the big league level. So, sure, you never rule that out. I don't think it's their preference. I also want to believe that a new owner, if it does happen, is hopefully going to be motivated to try to keep the guy around for a long time and show that he's willing to spend some money. So, you hope all those things come together. But, right now, no, I don't see it happening this month. But if a year from now the rebuild really is not progressing as they want it to, I think you have to at least explore the possibility of what you could get for him, because their biggest issue they have right now is that they don't have an inventory of young talent. They've got a handful of guys from the trades they made last year, from a couple drafts recently, but they don't have nearly enough of it to be in a position to contend again. And so if you only have so many trade chips, nobody's going to bring more in return than Juan Soto would. So I think it's something they have to at least, consider the possibility of maybe a year from now.
On All-Star Week, and we're talking here with Mark Zuckerman, beat writer for the Washington Nationals for Masson Sports, over there in D.C., we're talking some Juan Soto talk here. And with the All-Star game coming up in Los Angeles, so there's been a lot of rumors in that. I mean, you look at the price tag, you look at what Juan Soto demands as a contract, and he's going over to Los Angeles right now. And he's participating in the Home Run Derby. Are the Nationals a little nervous about that aspect, that he's going to be in Los Angeles for this All-Star game, for the Home Run Derby? Is it kind of like an audition opportunity for Juan Soto?
No, I don't think they look at it that way at all. Okay. He's already played a playoff series there,
right,
on their biggest spotlight. No, and what's funny is Soto, the other day when he was named to the All-Star team and talked about going there, he said he's excited to go see Trey Turner and try to convince him to come back to Washington next year when he's a free agent. So Juan's already trying to serve as GM for the Nationals. Right. He's not looking anything else. I think he likes it in D.C. I really do. This is where he came up in the with the organization. He won a title. He saw what this town can be. The town went crazy for them when they won the World Series. Now, it's dropped off, of course, since, given what the franchise is going through. But I think he, if he sees evidence of that this is going back on the right track again, I think it is a desirable place for him to be. And obviously, Dodger Stadium is great and the money's great. So is New York. So there are a lot of places that could be out there looking at him. But I've never gotten the sense from him that he doesn't like D.C. Or even the Nationals franchise. He just, understands that they're at a different stage in their, development right now, and that it's going to be at least a couple years until they're ready to win again.
Well, for your sake and for a Giants fan's sake, let's pull for Juan Soto to bring Trey Turner back to Washington. I'm all for that. We're going to talk about, let's switch over into the trade deadline after the All-Star game. It's not going to be anything like it was last year with Trey Turner being dealt, Max Scherzer, and a lot of pieces, actually. There was just everyone was pretty much off of the teams. I remember after the All-Star or after the trade deadline, it was the Nationals. I think it was the Nationals and Cubs, and it was just a whole bunch of guys that you didn't know who was on the team playing against each other. So switching to the trade deadline, what are you hearing? You have a few pieces in Josh Bell, Nelson Cruz, a couple of relievers that can be on the move. What's the plan here as the Nationals move past the All-Star game and into the trade deadline?
Yeah, so they don't have the chips that they did last year, obviously, those two big guys that brought in. Look, they're starting catcher for a long time. They believe Keibert Ruiz and hopefully their number two starter in Josiah Gray. That was a good return that they got in addition to two other prospects who are still in the minors. Josh Bell's probably the best chip they have right now. They like him a lot. There's been talk of would they consider re-signing him and trying to lock him up because they don't really have anyone else in the pipeline to play first base for them. But at this point, because he's going to be a free agent, because he's having, he didn't make the All-Star team, but he's having an All-Star caliber season. And there are, I think four or five teams out there that could use a big bat to either play first base or DH. I think they're going to probably move him and hope they get something in return for him that could be valuable. The problem, Nelson Cruz, they signed in spring training for that specific reason, to try to get what they could out of him and then hope to flip him at the trade deadline to a contender. The issue there is he got off to a terrible start in April, then got really good for about a month in May, but he's cooled off again, not hitting for power at this stage. Now, he's 42 years old. He's a DH. Maybe there's somebody out there who could find a place for him, but I'm guessing a lot of the teams that would have interest in him also have interest in Josh Bell. So they're sort of playing off each other, and that could hurt the Nats in the long run. They have no reason to keep Nelson Cruz. But I'm just worried about what kind of market there's going to be for a 42-year-old DH at this point, especially when you already have a better and younger slugger on your roster who you're trying to deal as well. So we'll see what comes of that. The relievers, I thought, were probably the intriguing parts. They had two relatively younger or certainly still under club control for three more years, guys in Kyle Finnegan and Tanner Rainey. And a lot of times teams get desperate for relief pitching at the deadline, and they're willing to give up something good for them. So they could still get something for Finnegan, who has been more of a setup man, but he has gotten some big hitters out. He's kind of their high leverage guy. So I think you can get something for him. Rainey, unfortunately, just yesterday landed on the 60-day IL with a sprained elbow ligament, and he might need Tommy John surgery. And so that really messed things up, both for him and the team, obviously, but even for the idea of trading him, that's not going to happen now. So whether they would have traded him, I don't know, but they sort of lost one of those potential chips. So really I'm looking at Bell and Cruz and maybe Finnegan, and then they have a couple other veteran relievers, Carl Edwards Jr., Steve Cishek, some position players like Cesar Hernandez, Michael Franco, but these are role players who are not going to bring back a whole lot in the trade. So it's really going to be Bell, I think, is the big one. And if they think they can get something for Finnegan, I'll be curious to see what they can get for a reliever with 3 years of control.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely interesting to see what the Nationals do trade deadline and beyond in relation to Juan Soto. But You know, it's going to be very interesting, to say the least. They do have pieces to move, and we'll see if they move them. Josh Bell, I think, is a great fit over there in Washington. So hopefully he stays for that, you know, kind of rebuild, getting to that mold where they can compete now in the National League East in the coming years. But, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate the time. And next time you go on to the broadcast, man, you let me know. I'm tuning in.
Will do. Hopefully it's under different circumstances with a little more advanced notice next time.
All right, Mark, thank you, and we'll talk soon, man.
Okay, take care.
All right, and there you have it, everybody. Mark Zuckerman for Masson Sports, beat writer for the Washington Nationals. Go ahead and give him a follow on Twitter, at Mark Zuckerman, to go ahead and get all of your Washington Nationals needs, find out where Juan Soto is going, or to keep up with the broadcast, because you never know when Mark Zuckerman is going to be calling another baseball game in the near future. I'm pretty sure it may happen again. He did a great job on that, and if we take anything away from that conversation, it's to be ready at all times, because you never know when your moment is going to come. So that was a great conversation. I had fun. Mark had fun. I hope you had fun listening to that as well. You guys go ahead and subscribe to Passion for the Pastime. Go ahead and share it. Let everybody know what's going down on the podcast. We got nothing but good vibes going on for the rest of the season. As we get closer to trade deadline, we're going to talk more trades, more players that could be on the move, particularly this month and beyond. So you guys have a good one. Be safe. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I sure did. Again, want to thank Mark Zuckerman for coming on and talking some ball with us. You guys have a good one, be safe, and we will talk to you next time, where we will take a look at the All-Star Game with beat writer for the Los Angeles Dodgers for the Orange County Register, Bill Plunkett. We'll do that next time. You guys have a good one, be safe, and I'll talk to you then.